It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. Miss Neva Pite will be in here shortly to run the iPad. Our guest today is one of my favorites, our brother in Christ, Mr. Lee Schrader. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good morning, Monica. Everybody's one of your favorites, but that's an honor. But appreciate it. That's the way God thinks.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barbara Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
I will. Amen. We're going to pray out of the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. And it says, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And then in Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14, is another prayer where Paul prays for revelation, and it goes this way: "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So what we've just prayed for is for revelation. And Paul says in Ephesians 1, he says that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? And then here in Ephesians chapter 3, he says that we may be able to comprehend in verse 18, and that you would know in verse 19. So that's revelation. And as I was praying this morning and making preparation, this is what the Lord wanted me to say about praying this morning and for revelation, and that he's going to help me to see and deliver as he wants, what he wants to say, okay, and with his clarity. And to help the hearers, that would include Monica and Neva in this room right now, and anybody that may wander through these halls and whatever, and anybody that's listening now and will listen in the future, because this is going to get posted on Facebook and other social media. And those hearers would hear as the Father wants them to hear, with his clarity and what he means. And that's what's going to happen this morning in Jesus' name. So what I want to do is continue on my series and talk. I'm teaching on the redemption facts. And there are four redemption facts. And we're going to start at number three today. And we're not going to finish with number three. But we're going to press on, okay? And I do have the comfort that since we're not going to finish with number three, I'll be back here in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about number three some more, okay? So I'm learning to rest and relax and those things. Or as musicians, the great musicians who do when they play and sing songs, sing music, is they let the song breathe. That's the secret, okay? And that's the rest of God. Now, so let's go for just review sakes. Let's talk about these four redemption facts. The first one we talked about is the fact that the Father has no favorites. Every person born into his family has the same redemption rights, privileges, and status. And I'm going to read those scriptures off that I've used in the past, okay? Or try to. Acts 2, 14 through 21. Romans 1, 14 through 17. Acts 10, 1 through 48. Romans 5, 1 through 21. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Ephesians 2, 1 through 22. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, and Romans 4, 1 through 25. All right, that's the first fact. The second fact is this. Humanity has been redeemed out of the hand of their enemy. Satan has been conquered for us personally. Here's some scriptures to back that up, okay? Galatians 3, 13 through 14, Romans 8, 1 through 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, Hebrews 2, 9 through 18, Colossians 2, 9 through 15, and Romans 6, 3 through 11. That's the second fact. The third fact, Monica, is this. We can say, this is what we're going to start talking about today, we can say he was delivered up on account of our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. Let me borrow this just a minute. Today's title is He Took the Sin from Sinning. I didn't make up that phrase. That came from Annie Herring, who wrote most of the songs for second chapter of Acts. And and in one of her songs, she says he took the sin out of sinning. That's the new creation. That's the gospel. So that's what we're talking about today, and that's what this third fact is. And I'll go ahead and read my scriptures that I intend to use out of the third fact, and that's Isaiah 53, 4 through 12, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22, Romans 4, 23 through 25. Ephesians 2, 1 through 22, Romans 5, 5 through 11, and Romans 8, 29 through 39. And then the fourth fact is that we'll get to eventually is this. We can confidently say, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom, in Christ, we have our redemption, the remission of our trespasses, the sin debt has been paid. We have a personal and absolute redemption, deliverance from the adversary. And those scriptures that I'm going to use are right here. Colossians 1, 9 through 17, Colossians 2, 9 through 15, 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31, Romans 5, 14 through 21, Romans 6, 3 through 23, Philippians 2, 3, 13 through 14, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and that is that. So somebody may say, well, you know, Lee, a lot of those scriptures come out of Paul's epistles. Yep, that's exactly right. Because that's where the mystery is revealed. Now, before I get into the third fact, I want to kind of just explain that to you. And go with me to Galatians, the first chapter, okay? This is not in the list of scriptures, but I need to clarify this right here. And explain some things to you. You know, as Ricky Ricardo used to say, explain it. Okay, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Well, I'm going to splain this to you, okay? And what I term the gospel is also can be called Paul's revelation. And we call the book of Romans through Philemon the Pauline epistles. It means it belongs to Paul because God gave it to Paul. And Paul at one time was Saul of Tarsus. And then we know in Acts the 7th chapter, that's when God began to include he'd already had legally, but he began to reach out to the Gentiles, those who were not part of the chosen people, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, the Jews, okay, because they publicly rejected the gospel. When Stephen preached it to them in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, and he called them a stiff-necked and hard-hearted generation after he had given them the whole plan of God. The whole plan of God, he read it from to them, just quoted it to them from the Old Testament. And they rejected it, and their rejection was manifested when it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, that's a an allegory, that's a metaphor, meaning that they used extreme profanity. You blankety blankety, you sorry, blah 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 blah. And then they stoned him and killed him. That's what gnashing with teeth means. It doesn't mean anything else. Doesn't mean they bit him. It means that's how the Bible refers to profanity. Okay? And so it says they laid their feet at the young man, Saul, who Paul later tells in giving his testimony for before Agrippa and Festus. He says, I was consenting unto their death. And it says they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, and then they stoned and killed Stephen. Okay? Well, that man Saul later on went about taking the letters and he would imprison Christians. Okay? And then we know in Acts the 9th chapter that he was on his way to deliver more of those letters and have more Christians in prison for preaching the gospel. And the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And he was slain in the spirit. That's what, you know, people question about being slain in the spirit. This is one of the biblical accounts of it, okay? Also in the garden, when the guards came to take Jesus and bring him before the Pharisees so they could do the illegal trial, okay, that night, so nobody would know what they were doing, they said, who do you seek? And he said, are you he that we seek? And he said, I am. And it said they all fell backwards. They were slain in the spirit. So that's what happened to Saul. And Jesus spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And, of course, Saul said, who are you, Jesus? Now, I've preached on that before, and that means that he was already wondering. Even on his way to persecute Christians, he was wondering if Jesus was the Christ. God was already dealing with him. He had heard the word of God, and he had been prayed for, and he was being wooed into the kingdom of God. That's how it works, okay? And so you read further in the story, and then the Lord Jesus says this. He said, he told this individual, he said, now I want you to minister to Saul. And this guy said, no, no. And Jesus said, yes, because he's a chosen vessel for me, and I'm going to show him many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was a chosen vessel. Saul was. So, and it was such a big deal to Saul that he changed his name to Paul. He saw that that guy had died and that he was a new creation in Christ, and he changed his name to Paul. Okay? Now, so that Paul, look what he says here in Galatians chapter 1. Is this making any sense to you? It's making sense to me. Look here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. This is called the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. That's a letter that he wrote to the Galatians. And look what he says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which preached of me is not after man, or as one translation says, a man-contrived thing. So, and here he's going to go on and explain this. He's going to explain it, okay? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain something to you about the King James Bible. The King James Bible is written what we call parallel structure. He's the same thing is said in verse 11 and in verse 12. It's explained to you, okay? That's the beauty of the King James Bible. Now, I'm going to go on record and say that it's my opinion that it's the only inerrant English translation that we have of the Bible. All the others have errors in them. That means your New King James, your English Standard Version, they don't agree in places. Well, if they don't agree, they can't both be the Bible. One's wrong and one's right, or maybe they're both wrong. Just thought I'd throw that out there, okay? Monica's going, what? Just bear with me, okay? I've come to that conclusion, okay? I own 160 translations of the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. It's a fact, okay? So the King James Bible is written in what we call parallel structure. Now, there was another individual who wrote in parallel structure, and his name was William Shakespeare. Now, interesting thing about William Shakespeare is he really appeals to the world, and they don't even understand why, because he wrote in parallel structure. Interesting thing about the King James Bible and William Shakespeare, that was the vast majority of the only two books or documents or literature that Abraham Lincoln read. He hardly read anything else other than his law books to become a lawyer. But that, you know, but for his recreational reading, he read the King James Bible. Okay. And he read Shakespeare. And so parallel structure goes this way. It'll say it one. It'll make the statement. Then it will clarify it in either the next part of that sentence or in the next verse. Now, the book of Proverbs is loaded with parallel structure. And many portions of the New Testament have this parallel. It's called parallelism or parallel structure. If there's any, perchance, a professor of English from SWASU over here in Weatherford or anywhere around the world, they'll go, yeah, that's right. That's parallelism. You say it and then you reiterate it. You define it again, and he's going to do that here. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. He's going to define that. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's parallel structure. He's explaining what it means to not have got it from man. It's not a man-contrived thing. God gave it to him by revelation. Jesus Christ, whether he appeared personally or by the witness of the inward man, he taught it to Paul. Let's read on. For you heard of my conversation or lifestyle in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. And he goes on to talk about it some more. Okay, but let's go back up here. He says, but when it pleased God, in verse 15, who separated me from my mother's womb. Now, for brevity's sake, you can go over to Philippians, the third chapter, and Paul talks about his lineage, his heritage in the flesh. If there was a Jew, it was Paul. If there was a Pharisee, it was Paul. And he said, and he said here that he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. He was it. Paul was a superstar. He was a rock star of the Jews. And you know what he says in Philippians? Oh, that was a disadvantage to me. My past means nothing, because I was called of God before the foundations of the world to take this to the Gentiles and deliver it to the world, the then world at that time. And he did it. You look in the back of your Bible and you can see that Paul had three missionary journeys, and it shows the map and it shows little footsteps. Everywhere Paul went, and he took the gospel. Okay? That's what Paul did. He obeyed God. And in that, he tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, he was beat with rods three times. He was stoned numerous times. He was killed, raised from the dead. He suffered hunger. And those are things that not because God wanted him to suffer, but those are the consequences of taking the gospel to the world. People think it's violent now. Mm-mm. That was tough times back then. That was tough times. If you, to the Jews, the woman with the issue of blood, she should have been stoned, killed, to dare to have the audacity to go into that crowd of Jews and crawl through them and touch them all. How many people did her ankles did her shoulders touch while she crawled through that crowd so she could touch the hem of his garment? She should have been jerked out of there and stoned according to the Jews' religion. That's violent. We don't do that. You go to jail for doing stuff like that. That's what the Muslims do now. That's what the Taliban does. That's Sharia law. People think it's tough now. No. 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 Wow. That was an earful, wasn't it? Bear with me. I have to clarify this, where I'm coming from. Because people say, gosh, that's a lot of scriptures out of Paul's letters. Yes, because Paul's letters reveal to us the gospel. Let's read on. Go to Ephesians, the second chapter. So God separated from his mother's womb. He took him completely out of his past. And I've said this so many times, your past, although it does define you somewhat as far as where you are now, it was never intended by God to define you and put you in the ministry. It's a deterrent. I've said that a lot of times, and I mean it. Lee Schrader, okay? People look at me and talk with me, and I say this in tongue-in-cheek and jest, but they think I'm the coolest person on the planet. You know, but I have favor with people. I do. You know, I walk around Walmart, and people come up to me and talk to me. Hey, you'd be surprised some of the things some people said to me. I don't even know you. I got to tell a quick story about Walmart. You know how they have those greeters? Actually, I call them the guards, but because if you have, it looks like you have something that you might have not paid for, let me see your receipt. So I always just walk out with my receipt in my hand. I'm tired of being, you know, searched. Now, so anyway, and there's this one particular individual. I have to tell her her name. Her name is Faith. And the reason I know her name, because she used to work at another grocery store here in town. And she would run the cash register. And so I was paying for my, at this other grocery store here in town, Homeland. There's only two more. And so I looked at her name tag and I said, Faith. Oh, that's a cool name. That's a great name. I said, do you know I was witnessing to her. I said, did you know that word's in the Bible? And she said, yeah. Trying to blow me off. Don't go there. And I said, and it says in 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. I said, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Right there at the register. My dad, he reads the Bible all the time. And I could tell, I knew right then she was mad. She's mad at her father, and she's mad at God. We've all been there. Well, now she works at Walmart. She's one of those checkers. And you know what I say to her every time when I walk in? And so every time, and when I used to see her at Homeland, I'd say, faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love. Say to it all the time. Just mad. Guess what I say to her when I see her? I saw her yesterday at Walmart. Faith, hope, and love. And she's just grumbles on her. It's because but you know what? She can be mad at me all she wants, but I'm not the problem. She's mad at God. And see, God's using me to convict her. And I'm saying it, love. I'm just faith, hope, and love, and just walk right on by her. Don't say another thing. You know, in fact, I've watched her. Sometimes if she sees me, I'll watch her through the door. If she sees me, she'll make sure that she doesn't have to make eye contact with me, or she'll slip into the self-check area or something, because she doesn't want me to say it. But I say it. Anyway, let's move on. So, Paul, God delivered to him a revelation. And he said it didn't come from man. It had nothing to do with his past. So your past is a deterrent. So Lee Schrader, everything that happened to me, people see me, and I've witnessed to people, and I've shared with them some things, some dark things that happened to me in my adolescence and pre-adolescence. And they go, one guy, no, I don't believe you. Yeah, it's true. No, I don't believe you. You're too clean. Thank you for the compliment. Everything that happened in your past, was, if it was negative and destructive, it was not God. He didn't do it so someday you could relate to somebody that has that problem. It was the devil trying to deter you from the call of God. Chapter and verse, got it. John 10:10. The thief cometh but for one reason. To kill, to steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have eternal life and have it in abundance. All right? So let's keep talking about Paul in this revelation. So in Ephesians, the second chapter, third chapter, excuse me, he says this. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word. So the dispensation means that's the job that he's been given. Okay? That's his responsibility. How that by revelation he'd made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. You know, a lot of people like to read mystery novels. It's the whodunit. You know, who did it? How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. Okay, so he's written out this mystery. Look what he says. Whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And if you go back into chapter 2, in verse 20, now verse 19, he says this, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What foundation? That revelation that Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, that God gave them. Of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Okay? And so that foundation is that revelation. Now go to Romans chapter 16. I'm explaining this to you just so you know where I'm coming from. You know, Jesus did that a lot, Neva. He would say things like, he that's not for me is against me. Just so you know where he's coming from. You cannot serve God and mammon, for you will hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. Jesus would say things like that. Or he'd say things like this. Let the dead go bury the dead. Come on and follow me. Or, a little joke. Check this out, Neil. You got to look. That's my cross pin. I'm in obedience to God. He said, take up your cross and follow me. I always thought that was funny anyway. So that's why I like cross pins. And so, but anyway, a little humor. Romans chapter 16. Let's read here what Paul says right here. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to, look what he says, my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now was made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Verse 25 again. Now him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So if Paul's gospel is not the primary impetus of your life, you're not being established in the things of God. I'll prove it. Romans chapter 6. This is my pre-introduction to my introduction. Romans chapter 6. Okay, verse 16. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Now there's a sermon right there, but I'm not going to do it. Look what he says here. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What form of doctrine? Paul's gospel. The revelation that God had given to Paul. The revealing of the mystery. That which I'm talking to you about right now. These four facts of our redemption. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling man unto himself. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, we're coming up on intermission, and if you are ready with prayer requests, Neva? Okay, let me do one more thing. So, everything I'm giving to you, the primary, the vast majority of these verses are out of Paul's letters. Because Paul, as Mark Hankin says, takes his flashlight and shines it on the rest of the Word of God and explains it to us so that we understand it. Because before that, it's all a mystery. And I'll say this before we do the intermission. Just about my favorite Bible story is in the book of Luke. And it's after Jesus had been raised from the dead. And he's walking on the road to Emmaus. And it says he went and joined himself to these two disciples who were freaked out. They were just like, what's... They was so surreal. They weren't even of the original remaining 11. These were other disciples, okay? And I mean... But they believed on the Lord. They believed he was the Messiah. They believed that he was going to kick the Jews' butt out, kick the Jews' butt and the Romans' butts right out of Jerusalem and establish his kingdom. Okay? And so he says, what you guys doing? And they said, well, you know, we're kind of bummed out. And he said, what are you bummed out about? And they looked at him and said, where you been the last 3 days?
Love it.
Let me tell you. And it says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all the things concerning himself. And the end result was, they said, wow, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us? Because Jesus explained to them out of the Old Testament everything that Paul explains to us in his letters. Let's go to intermission.